are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say hallelujah. How about preach, preacher?
Preach, preacher.
All right, all right. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. We are continuing our series of messages looking at the core values of Derrida Church. Core values are the habits that define us as a congregation. Core values are the ways Jesus wants our life together to be shaped. Today we're looking at the fourth of our seven core values, so that means we're halfway through now. We're looking at the core value of innovative service. And again, as we go through this series of messages, you have an insert in your bulletin with three questions. We would love to hear from you, because this series is intended to be a conversation. Let's think about and talk about how we live out these core values of our church. Again, if you have your Bible with you, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We ask now for the help of the Holy Spirit that we might hear what you have to say to us this day. We pray that in the reading and proclamation of your word that we might know Jesus as our greatest treasure, our highest joy, and our most intense pleasure. Help us now as we hear and proclaim the word of God. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who alone is the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter 2, verse 1, hear now the word of God. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, listen. The greatest need of every human being on the planet is to know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that comes through him. There are all kinds of needs that are legitimate and important. We have all kinds of health needs and emotional needs and financial needs that should not be ignored. But the greatest need of every human being is to know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that comes through him. There was a song written in the 80s that says, "People need the Lord. People need the Lord." When will we realize that people need the Lord? If I could tattoo a truth on your heart and mind, if I could write a truth in the sky, it would be this: the greatest need people have is to know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin that comes through him. For he saves, redeems, cleanses, justifies, and gives eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has the name that is above every name. To have Jesus is to have heaven's best. To have Jesus is to have the certain hope of life on the new earth, totally redeemed from sin and evil when Jesus returns. To be without Jesus is to be without salvation. To be without Jesus is to be bound to sin and death. To be without Jesus is to be bound to a destiny whose destination is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. To be without Jesus is to live a life that is on a collision course with the wrath of God on the day of judgment. This is why the greatest need of every human being is to know Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that comes through him. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Today we're looking at the fourth core value of our church. And again, that core value is innovative service. Innovative service. Innovative, trying new things. Service, the activity of helping people. Innovative service. By innovative service, we are saying that at our core, this church values looking for ways to joyfully, creatively, and generously help our neighbors. And we already know that there are all kinds of needs out there. And as the church of Christ, we dare not ignore them, because the Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion for people. And so we have compassion for people and their needs, but we do it knowing that their greatest need is to know Jesus and the forgiveness of sin that comes through him. That takes us to our text from Mark chapter 2. The Bible tells us that Jesus was back in the city of Capernaum. He had been going through the region of Galilee, preaching and healing, and now he was back home, the text says, in Capernaum. Bible scholars tell us that this was most likely the home of Peter. Well, word got out that Jesus was back in Capernaum, and before long, a crowd filled the house. The crowd was so large that the house couldn't hold everybody that wanted to get in. So people pressed in around the door like a cork sealing a bottle. There was just no more room. You could not get in to that house. Verse 2 tells us that in the house, Jesus preached the word to them. Jesus was in the house preaching. Wouldn't you like to know what Jesus was telling those people that caused such a crowd, such a packed house? We're not told the content of this sermon, but we know from other places in the Bible that Jesus would often take people back to what we know as the Old Testament and show them how it all points to him and that how he is the fulfillment of it. And so if he was preaching the word, then he was talking about himself because he is the word. For example, in John 5:39, Jesus said to the religious leaders, "You study the scriptures," that is the Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. He said, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me." In Luke 24, as the risen Jesus walked with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets," that is the Old Testament, "and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he," that is Jesus, "explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." So as Jesus preached to the crowd in the house in Capernaum, he might have taken them back to the story of Noah and the ark, saying, "I am the true ark. If you are in me, then you will be saved when the flood of final judgment comes." He might have taken them back to the story of David and Goliath, saying, "I am the greater David who slays the giant of sin and death on your behalf." He might have taken them back to the book of Exodus, saying, "I am the greater Moses who leads you out of your slavery to the evil one, and I am the greater Passover, for my blood will mean your salvation." Listen, friends, in his preaching and teaching and miracle working, Jesus announced that all the promises of God to reverse the curse of sin, to fix the fall of creation caused by Adam and Eve, and that the arrival of the kingdom of heaven on earth are fulfilled in him. So, Jesus was in the house in Capernaum, packed with people listening to him preach the word, listening to him talk about how he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And into this scene comes a group of men carrying a man on a mat. You can see them in your mind, four men, each one holding a corner of this mat in the hot Middle Eastern sun. The man on the mat was paralyzed. He couldn't move, and we don't know why he was paralyzed. We don't know if he was in an accident or if he had been born that way. What we do know is that he needed help. He needed help getting to Jesus. He needed someone to help him get to Jesus. These four men carrying the paralytic on the mat are a beautiful example of our core value of innovative service. These four men are filled with faith. They are convinced. They are convinced that this man on the mat needs Jesus. And listen, friends, understand that faith not only changes how you think, faith changes how you act. For, as the word says, faith without works is dead. Look, just look at the faith of these men. Their faith made them persistent. They were determined to get this paralyzed man to Jesus. When the front door was blocked, they climbed up on the roof and started digging a hole. What? In that day, the roof of a house was made by laying timbers across about 3 feet apart. On top of those timbers, they would lay small sticks and reeds and branches. And then on top of that, they would lay about a foot of dirt. The whole thing would be about 2 feet deep. These men were just determined to get the paralyzed man to Jesus. And at Derrida Church, we are determined to get people to Jesus as well. Why? because we are convinced that the greatest need of every human being on the planet is to know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin that comes through him. Their faith, the faith of these men, not only made them persistent, it made them creative. I mean, who would think to dig a hole in the roof? I mean, can't you see them digging through the roof and inside the house, dirt starts to fall? Maybe a clump of dirt hitting one of the scribes in the head. And as the first rays of light broke through the roof, you know, someone standing outside thought, well, why didn't I think of that? Listen, friends, we can learn from other congregations and other ministries, but we don't have to rely on copying anybody. Faith in Jesus will not only make us determined to get people to him, faith in Jesus will make us creative. If we're simply trying to get more members so that we can feel secure in our church, then the creativity will not come. It will not come because we will be using people for our own end. We're just trying to get people in the house so we can feel secure about our church. But if we are convinced that Jesus is the only way, if we are convinced that their greatest need is Jesus, then our faith will make us determined and creative. The Holy Spirit will reveal fresh ways of bringing people to the Lord. So the men cut a hole in the roof, lowered the man on the mat into the house. And there in the house, the paralyzed man received two miracles. First, he had his sins forgiven. Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." When the religious leaders, the scribes, when they heard this, when they heard Jesus declaring the man's sins forgiven, well, they started thinking, well, this Jesus is a blasphemer. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right? And as the reader, you want to say to the scribes, that's right. Jesus is God. Remember, Jesus is the creator. He hates the effects of the fall. He hates what sin has done to you and to me. He hates what sin has done to this creation. Jesus hates the effects of the fall. Sin is why we live in a fallen world of sickness and disease and suffering and brokenness and division and poverty and war and death. It is because of sin. And the diagnostic of the gospel is right. Our problem, the world's problem, is sin. And the cure, the only cure, is Jesus. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The scribes thought Jesus was an unholy blasphemer because only God can forgive sin. They were thinking that if he committed blasphemy against God, not only should he be condemned, but there was no way he could go on to do a miracle to heal this paralytic that had been dropped down from the ceiling. Jesus knew what they were thinking. And so he asked a question. He asked, which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. Now just think about that for a moment. Jesus asked, which one is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, get up, take your mat, and walk. Now, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because if you say, get up, take your mat, and walk, a miracle needs to follow. If Jesus said that and nothing happened, then, well, it proves that Jesus isn't who he says he is. Verse 10, Jesus said, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. The healing of the man's paralysis confirmed that his sins were forgiven. The people in the crowd would have recognized that as a sign of the kingdom of God in their midst. And so the Bible says, praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. The emphasis here is on the man's forgiven sin. Friends, the gospel proclaims the greatest need of every human being on the planet is to know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin that comes through him. So when we do the Samaritan's Feet event, it's not just about shoes on the feet of kids. As wonderful as that is, it's not just about shoes on the feet of kids. It's about their need for Jesus. When we give bread to the community, it's not just about those loaves of bread. It's about the bread of life, Jesus. When we do the community meal, it's not just about connecting with people in our community. It's about serving them to help the people in our community connect with Jesus. People need the Lord. And so here at Derrida Church, we have this core value of innovative service. We look for ways to joyfully, creatively, and generously help our neighbors get to Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.